This is Dissecting Dragons, a speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers.
Hello, and welcome to Dissecting Dragons, the speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers. I'm Madeleine Vaughan.
And I'm Jules Ironside. This week, the kids are all right. Why do we need a new adult genre as well as a young adult one?
Okay, so this is definitely going to be one. This is definitely going to be an opinion week.
Yes, it is really, but I mean, it needn't be too contentious.
No, what I mean by that is that I have strong feelings about this. So much so that I actually wrote a piece concerning this topic. It must have been just under a year ago.
Yeah, something like that.
On my website, and called Sex, Soap and Sales, something new adult fiction. I can't remember the exact title, but yeah, it was about this subject. And we kept saying that we were actually gonna talk about it at some point, and we touched on it in past episodes, but now here today, we're actually gonna dredge it all up.
Yeah, see, I come from a slightly different perspective. I don't have very strong feelings about it, except that I now see there being a logical progression from mid-grade to young adult to new adult, and then on to more adult fiction. And I do think it's a genre that needs to be, or rather an umbrella term, that does need to be instituted, basically, if we're going to have young adult. Because young adult now divides up into three already, pretty much.
It does. So, yeah, I mean, even middle grade divides up into two, and you just get all of these different kind of... I guess I feel it quite keenly because I'm now just leaving that new adult kind of, and in fact, it could be argued that I'm still part of that new adult genre, and just getting into adult fiction. And I think there is a massive jump between YA and adult fiction.
Yeah, there is. Let's start with some definitions, because there's obviously a lot of crossover between these umbrella genres.
Yeah, and crossover is onto itself a nice term.
Yeah, it is almost a genre of its own, isn't it? But I mean, people who, or rather children who will read mid-grade, and mid-grade can mean 9 to 12, or mid-grade can mean 10 to 14, depending on who you ask, will also tend to read young adult as well. And the same people who've hit the real sort of young adult end will still read some mid-grade. And young adults will, if we say young adult is sort of 14 plus, that's a huge age range, really, in terms of development.
It really is, because if you just think about the age range between the ages of being 14 and 16 is massive. Yeah. And then think 16 to 18, that's incredible. And then it's this idea that you hit 18 and then it's boom, adult.
Yeah. And the thing is, your brain literally does not stop developing until you hit about 21, 22.
Well, in some cases, people argue that there's evidence that it might even be as late as 25 that your personality at least doesn't really solidify. So.
So we're asking a lot of people by putting them into these little boxes. And the thing is, people and readers sort of like leap between boxes as well. I mean, I will still read mid-grade fiction if I fancy the look of the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll pretty much read anything that's put in front of me as long as it's not romance.
This is true. I think the problem is it's about understanding that these labels, they're not saying... only people of this age should read it, because that's ridiculous. You know, adults read Harry Potter and enjoyed it. The Boy with the Striped Pajamas is one which was actually supposed to kind of be for adults, but then was also marketed towards children as well.
Yeah.
And we have this phenomenon of of books that actually are appropriate for all ages and can be enjoyed by all ages as well. So it's not about saying what people should be reading. It's about identifying a kind of age range which is optimum time to read it.
Yeah,
it's,
that's where you're pushing your marketing towards. It's about accessibility more than saying, no, this is for this age group, this is for that age group.
It's not only this age group. This was written for this age group. And now other people, of course, can enjoy it. But it means that, this has got language and themes and topics which are particularly relevant to this age group or people around this age group. But it also, it's about saying people of this age can physically read. You wouldn't put a young adult book in front of the average nursery student. Nursery student, I don't know. That's a bit I'm being a bit kind there. But you know what I mean? It's about saying, actually, okay, this is language that they will be familiar with, and these are scenarios and situations which they will be familiar with, and these are also going to be themes which are going to be important. There's a reason that a lot of adults find YA to be kind of annoying, and there's this constant attack on YA with the whole love triangle and the romance, and I'm thinking, okay, but this is for kids who are going through phases like this.
Yeah, absolutely. This is aimed at people who are about 16, who, the world literally is kind of ending and does turn on whether somebody likes you back or not.
Exactly.
That's the important stuff.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just about saying this is who is the ideal kind of reader. And, of course, depending on the individual, you might be 14 years old and actually really be able to identify with themes found in books for people who are much older or for much younger. Or it just might be a story which appeals to you for whatever reason. That what we're basically just saying is that this is about the prime age. It's the prime reader. That's it.
And I think it's worth sort of having a rough idea of what new adult is. New adult is really supposed to be 18 to 26, roughly.
Yeah.
However,
it's like university age. New adult is kind of for the university ages, the older student.
Yes. Yeah, and it's had a bit of a shady reputation. The reason for this is because it would appear that a certain type of writer has jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, well, I can write it in a new adult a young adult style, but I can have really graphic sex. And that's literally where the focus has been. So a lot of people have looked at it rather scornfully and gone, oh, this is just an excuse to have smut. And that's not really what the classification was for.
No. And I think it's important to say that it's okay to have
absolutely
steamy sex. Because, again, this is for a group of an age group of people who are now have probably looking to or starting to have sex, and it's no longer just the my god it's my first time which you sort of get in YA. Now it's much more the okay, sex is now a part of life. It's and we can now explore that less as the holy and more of the okay, this is just something that I enjoy doing and I like exploring my desires. So that's absolutely fine. It's totally reasonable to have that within new adult books. But the idea that new adult is now 100% synonymous with just smut is a little bit upsetting. And it's caused this problem whereby you hear new adult and you think, right, those are smut books. And I think the problem with that is that it's just no longer seen as a real classification.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summation of events. Anyway, so I've sort of jotted down what my ideas are between the difference between young adult and new adult, and it's quite a tricky one. You have to squint a little bit. If you remove sex and violence from the equation, what actually sets them apart? And as far as I can see, it's a matter of setting, style, and voice. And in terms of young adult fiction, the setting really, as far as possible, should reflect something that a young adult reader, doesn't matter if, you know, 40-year-olds are coming in and reading the books as well, since you're aiming for a young adult reader, it should sort of have a scenario, as best as you can make it, that they can put themselves into easily. So they can see themselves in that setting. Style. That's a tricky one, because a lot of people write adult fiction now with a young adult style because it's open and accessible to many people. But again, young adult fiction, as it's a sort of stepping stone between mid-grade fiction and adult fiction as it stands, and therefore the style is quite open. It's usually not too demanding, even though the themes are quite often deep. And young adult fiction is normally ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, what you're exploring in literature, issues, the hot button topics of the moment. Young adult fiction will go there before anything else does. And then voice.
Then young adult, you also tend to find rep as well.
Exactly. That's kind of where I was going with that.
Sorry.
I would, you know, include that in sort of hot button topics, really. But voice. The voice should be a believable and authentic young adult voice, no matter whether you're talking in first person or third person. So it should sound enough like, you know, even if you're looking at the maturer end of the spectrum, someone who's had to grow up a bit too fast, it should still sound like a young adult. It should still sound like somebody who thinks from that perspective. And the problem with some of the stuff that's new adult, that's being marketed as young adult, which we'll get to in a minute, is the fact that it's not using that voice. It's using a new adult voice, which is different, and it's using a young adult style. And people are looking at the style and going, oh, well, that's obviously young adult, marketing it as young adult, and it's going, targeting its marketing to the wrong audience, really. If you follow me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I do. I follow you exactly. I'm 100% agreeing with you. I think another thing to recognise is that, as you do with the voice, it's usually reflected in the age of the character. As a general rule in children's fiction, your characters are going to be the same age or older than your intended reader. So, especially in middle grade. So in middle grade, the first Harry Potter, you know, 8 to 11, Harry was 11. And then, of course, it sort of went up. In YA, the reason you tend to get most of the characters are 17. I mean, think Bella Swan. I'm just trying to think of who. They tend to be 17, 18, sort of about, still comfortably within school, but looking towards universities.
Yeah,
future educational jobs or stuff like that.
You're in that in-between phase. I mean, there are young adult books that technically are, they would almost fall into mid-grade. You'd have somebody who is, I've read some with 14-year-old protagonists that are marketed as young adult, and they reasonably are young adult, but because of the age of the protagonist.
As a general rule, that tends to be the case. Of course, there are exceptions, and because we can, you know, there are lots of different ways that you can identify young adult, it will vary anyway. New adult, therefore, tends to be people who are in their 20s. Sometimes it's even pushed to 30s, but for the most part, it's characters who were in their early or mid-20s.
I always think sort of 19 upwards for new adult.
Yeah. When I say early 20s, 19
counts. You're 19, you're a teenager. It's the whole
thing. Yeah, exactly. this is all right. But I think for the most part, it does tend to be sort of the young 20s. It's the kind of 21 or 20 or 19 sometimes, but it's about being that upper, you know, moving into the adult kind of territory, but still being a young person.
You see, having said
and the voice.
That, sorry, carry on.
No, so and I was just going to say, bring it back around and just say, and the voice changes between someone who's 17 and someone who's 20. The voice is different.
Yeah, definitely. I will say that yes, it's a reasonable rule to look at, but you can't absolutely swear by it because there are lots of adult books with teenage protagonists. So think of,
yeah,
if we were just going on age, we'd be looking at things like the Earth Children series by Jean M. Auld, which is extremely violent and extremely graphic. Who, and Isla is either a child or a teenager all the way through that series. So if we were just going on the age, we'd say, oh, well, that, you know, that's children's fiction, that's young adult. And it clearly,
well, yeah,
isn't.
No. Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely can't go on the age in all cases. It kind of stops being the case when it's adult fiction. When you get to adult fiction, the characters can really be any sort of age at all. But the style is very much adult fiction. I mean, just look at Game of Thrones. If it went by age there, no one would be able to read it since all the characters are different ages. And, like, Arya Stark's, like, 9 or something. Bran, yeah, is like 8. You know, we definitely wouldn't put those in front of an 8-year-old. So, but in general, when it comes to sort of young adult, right? But it's another way that you can tend to specify new adult is that it still generally kind of follows that rule of age being similar or the same as the intended reader.
Yeah, you don't.
So people within their 20s.
You don't tend to have young adult books where it features a protagonist in her 30s or his 30s. You just generally, yeah, you wouldn't really, and then you wouldn't bill that, yeah, as a young adult. Having said that, there's, yeah, Eva Ivertsen's books, and all her protagonists are sort of 19, 20, and they're definitely young adult.
Yeah.
So
there's always exceptions to the rule. As we said, it's just a general kind of thing, but it's not a 100%. That's the only way it is. But it's a good sort of little trick to identify if you're also looking at voice and character age, the voice and the general kind of writing style and the narrative style. These are all in form as well. But ages is just one quick thing you can look at. But as I said, when it comes to adult fiction, the age no longer really matters. You do get a lot of adult fiction which is about 30-plus-year-olds, but you can still have very much that flexibility, and the difference is definitely in the language and the narrative style instead.
So let's, I'm just going back to setting. Quite often, mm-hmm, this can involve some form of educational setting, because most young adults are actually in school or college,
yes,
or heading towards university. They don't have to be, obviously. They could be getting their first job. They could be starting an apprenticeship. They could be going into some other kind. I mean, depending on when you set it as well, because if it's historical fiction, they might not be in school at all.
Yeah, they might be an apprentice.
Yeah, if it's fantasy, they might be looking at or historical fiction, they might be looking at an arranged marriage. I'm not going to go into that trope. That is like one of my least liked tropes right now. It's really pissing me off.
But a general kind of theme that you tend to get with young adult is that sense of education, being a student of some kind. So whether it's a fantasy apprentice, or whether as you get things like Patrick Ness and Twilight and all of these general kind of ones, it's, yeah, I'm about to go to university, or I'm in college, or things like that.
Yeah,
new adult, it tends to be that I'm in my first job, in my first ratty apartment, or I'm at university. Yeah, it's the small separation.
Yeah. But those things like setting are really important. So let's look, I can't believe I'm going to be the one to suggest this first. Let's look at the A Court of Thorns and Roses series, because it is the absolute prime example of someone who's really fucked up the marketing. And I'm not necessarily, never mind my opinion on the series and my declining opinion on the series. The marketing has really, really screwed up on this one, because if you look at the covers, the way it's presented, the where it's shelved in a bookshop, these books are billed as young adult fiction, and if you actually read the books, you know they're not. And I don't just mean by sexual content. There's lots of themes and things in there that are not designed for a 14 to 18 audience, really. They might choose to read them anyway, but that's not who we should be targeting with those books.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you also get the example, you see that it follows the very particular kind of trope. So actually, Feyre as a character, she's not 17. She's 19, 20 in the first book.
Yeah, 19.
Because I know at the very least, yeah, in the last novella, she's 21. So she's 19 years old. There is some quite graphic sexual content. No exact words used, but very, very explicit. And just putting that to the side, you're right. The themes, even the writing style, it feels very new adult. And I think a lot of people mistake and go, well, it's young adult because it's written in first person. And that's, again, a very popular kind of thing that you see in young adult fiction, first-person perspective. But putting that to the side, the themes of... it's not, you tend to find it in YA that themes of death are very prevalent, but themes of identity as well are right at the forefront, identity and sexuality. And there's more of a sense of security in A Court of Thorns and Roses, where it's less about who am I, and, you know, what am I, and that there's, she feels very reaffirmed in her identity, especially in the first one. Those questions, those things are not at the forefront. And while death is still definitely a theme, the whole general kind of feel of the book is a very dramatic shift away from young adult.
I think, okay, my real problem with it being marketed as young adult is the fact that it's a romance with fantasy fringing, basically. The entire series is romance with fantasy fringing, and I can live with that. It's the fact that it's showing an unhealthy relationship, an unhealthy romance all the way through, and then you have sex scenes whereby, I'm not saying all young adult sex scenes should be sort of very romanticised either, because I feel that's unrealistic too, but this is clearly kind of designed to get you off a bit as well. There's ways of doing it without making someone feel hot under the collar, which is clearly not what SJ Maas has gone for. And it's things like, oh yeah, you know, do it hard enough to rattle the pictures kind of thing. And it's like, that's actually not really appropriate for young adult fiction. And then you add to the fact that there's nothing there whereby young adults can see themselves in it. There's no setting connection for them. You know, Feyre's not at school. Feyre's not, clearly not a young adult as a person in this at all. She's a new adult who's fumbling her way through a bad relationship and a bad situation with her family and difficult relationships with her sisters as they all get older and try and work out who they are in relation to each other. None of it is young adult struggle at all.
Yeah. She's also very typically, there's the whole thing is that she has a kind of a childhood sweetheart who's not really a childhood sweetheart. She has this guy at the beginning of the series who she's been sleeping with, but it's very casual.
Yeah, it's literally just scratching an itch. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that is not a young adult theme at all. Especially if you have characters who are doing that kind of thing in young adult, it tends to be very vilified. It's an acknowledgement of the casual nature of a physical relationship, which again is not really that applicable to young adults who are starting and going through their first relationship. With this great intensity of emotion and feeling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. I'm more sort of frowning because I think it shouldn't be vilified. I think we should be able to have casual sexual relationships in young adult fiction.
No, I agree. And I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do. I'm saying that it tends to be that the focus of romance in YA is about, you know, allowing young adults to explore the sudden intensity of feelings that they are having.
Yeah.
And this love is forever. And as a young adult, you do feel like that. You feel like, oh God, I've never felt anything this strongly before. And there's this sudden importance of, oh God, I'm a virgin. I've I've never had sex. The first time is not going to be actually probably that enjoyable, to be honest. And it's there aren't going to be many, particularly, hopefully, no 14-year-olds, but hopefully not many 16-year-olds who are just having very, very casual sex.
See, this is a bit of a sticky wicket, isn't it? Not, no pun intended, but
A sticky wicket.
cricket term. But then I
Jules.
thought about, well, now I've said that, that's kind of gross. I've gone somewhere weird,
That is gross.
I'm going to roll
Thanks
into it anyway.
for that. Oh,
there's ways of showing being comfortable and casual with your sexuality in young adult fiction that you would do differently in new adult fiction. You would be graphic in new adult fiction, probably in a way that you wouldn't be in young adult fiction. And it's a theme you can have in both, but at the same time, and actually I've seen more young adult books, particularly contemporary young adult books, that do explore this as a thing and say, you know, this is nothing to, you know, as long as everybody's consenting and everyone's being respected, this is nothing to be ashamed of. And some of them are quite graphic in terms of talking about it, but it's clearly a talking exercise, exploring the mentality around it, deconstructing that, and everyone goes in fully informed. It's not the same. It's romanticized in a weird alpha-esque, semi almost abusive approach in a lot of new adult fiction. And I think that's what makes it inappropriate for a young adult audience.
Yeah, I think also the other thing is that when it is explored in a YA setting, it's looked at this is what we can do now, or it's about exploring this. I'm going to explore my sexuality, and I don't mind if I'm casual about it. But it's about the start of something. It's about going into it. Whereas with A Court of Thorns and Roses, it's literally just a background thing in the past. And that's just, I just don't think that's going to be very familiar to a young adult reader.
No, I mean, it's less that than the, you know, steamy but very vague sex scenes. I mean, you kind of have to know what's going on to get anything out of those. But again, it's the way they're
There's
presented.
a lot of sheathing.
I've read, yeah, there's a lot of sheathing and sliding and slipping. I mean, I've read a lot of young adult sex scenes in books whereby it's clearly, they're clearly having sex, but there's nothing there that would make you think, oh, this is borderline erotica. Whereas you read that and you think, okay, this is kind of heading in that direction. And it's not that
Yeah,
young adult readers
absolutely.
can't read slightly more erotic sex scenes, and a lot of them will read everything from middle grade all the way up to adult and beyond. And they'll be reading far more graphic sex scenes than that, and that's fine because it's a case of marketing and choice and being able to make informed choices based on how a book is marketed.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly would not want, because kids as young as sort of 12 will look at the YA section because they're technically, 12, 13, you're teenagers at that point. I would not want a 13-year-old reading A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's not re Again, it depends on the individual. I did read some pretty saucy books when I was probably a little bit young to be reading them. I mean, I read a lot of Philippa Gregory, but that was adult fiction. I made an informed decision about that going into it. I knew what I was going to get. I wasn't picking a book off a shelf which I thought, right, this is for people my age. This is appropriate for people my age. And then coming across this within a context that I couldn't really understand. And also, I think the other difference is that young adult fiction, yeah, it can glorify the whole process of sex and relationships and things like that. But it is also introducing them. And I would argue that good young adult fiction sort of is able to kind of to recognize, and you do have the oh, and he was the one and everything was magical and wonderful, but it is about saying, right, we're going into this. And I think that you require a certain level of context for new adult books like A Court of Thorns and Roses to understand that this is special. This is not what's to be expected. But if you're 13 and you're reading that for the first time and you have none of that context.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, at 12 and 13, you were probably seeking out books with sex scenes in, probably. And in some respects, it's probably better to go seeking out the books rather than just type something into YouTube. And I think this is also, as a sidebar, why we need to be much more open about sex education in schools and the fact that there needs to be a relationship component and things need to be discussed and all types, body types and things need to be normalised, etc. Because if you're self-educating off YouTube, then you are not getting the most accurate picture ever. So, just as an aside.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, no, it's perfectly normal as a 12, 13-year-old to go looking for slightly smutty books, because we all do that. Even I did that, and I read pretty much, like I said, I read pretty much everything. But out of curiosity, and if everybody else in your class is passing around a Judy Blume book called Forever, and it's like, oh, you should get a load of the sex scenes in that. Mm. When I finally did get hold of that book and read it, I was quite disappointed. Because I thought, well, actually, yes, I suppose there is a fair bit of sex in this book, and it's presented in a way that the older end of the young adult spectrum will click with. I didn't think this at the time, I was just a bit disappointed. But I'd already read things like The Devil Rides Out and The Mists of Avalon, and I was like, this is kind of tame, you know? But what I'm getting at is there's no shame involved, there's nothing wrong with it, but as you said, Madeline, it's not made clear with the A Court of Thorns and Roses series that, yes, this is fantasy. We don't expect this to be a real substitute for a relationship. And maybe in some ways that's a problem with Twilight, because it's fantasy. It's not supposed to reflect a real relationship. This is an extreme situation and it's fantasy. It's made up kind of thing. But less with Twilight, there's a violent component even to the healthy bits of the relationship in A Court of Thorns and Roses series that I would prefer not to see young adults equating with themselves. There's far too much, I will ride or die for this one man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just think that, there are certain books that it's not about talking down to people, it's just about saying experience and about a level of maturity which doesn't necessarily, which comes from that experience, but also comes from the development of your brain. And each individual will develop separately, but it's about kind of, if you as an individual understand that you've developed to a certain point and know that actually you identify with things which are meant for 18-year-olds, then go ahead. But that's about you making that choice, that deliberate choice with regard to understanding yourself as an individual. Classifying A Court of Thorns and Roses as YA, I think, is a massive mistake. And I think actually, to be honest, they didn't really have a choice. Because in order to get this book out there, it needed to be classified as YA, because it's not adult fiction. It doesn't read like adult fiction. It feels like a crossover, which is exactly what it is. There's no shelf for it. You don't find new adult in bookstores. You don't find a new adult shelf. No one knows what it is. And that's a real problem. I think, and that's where the real issue is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In another interesting marketing decision, The Hunger Games initially, before it got big, was marketed as middle grade. Mm-hmm. So all the cover art and everything was designed to appeal to middle grade readers. And I'm not saying it wasn't accessible to middle grade readers, but a lot of them were kind of bored with the political side of it because they just weren't gelling with it.
And
they're quite violent. I wouldn't say there's necessarily there's no gratuitous violence. It's all important. It's no worse than perhaps you might see on a late night news special, but which is quite bad actually if you think about it. But having read them, I was kind of like, no, these are definitely young adult, just because they're not. There's no focus on relationships in the same way. I know people go on about the love triangle, but actually the whole thing is about being able to self-determine in a totalitarian society that even when you win has rights over your body. So I think people got the wrong end of the stick there, but I would definitely bill it as young adult rather than rather than middle grade, and she could have written it in the same style and had it be much older in terms of its outlook.
Yeah. Yeah, she could have. Yeah, I think the problem is that there is no one general rule, and there shouldn't be, because each book is a story that needs to be told. And you need different things for that. So there's no general rule, this is YA, this is middle grade, this is upper middle grade, this is lower middle grade, and this is exactly what we should be doing. There are general trends that you tend to see. One such trend, for instance, is that typically, but not always, just as a general kind of general trend with lots of exceptions, middle grade books tend to focus on action, whereas young adult books will focus more on feeling.
On interaction between characters.
On interaction, yeah. It's more about an internal turmoil. The internal turmoil is a very big part of the plot.
Yeah.
Whereas in middle grade, the external turmoil tends to be the most significant part of the plot. As I said, there's lots of exceptions to that. It's just a general kind of trend. And in that way, actually, new adults, I think another reason why new adult people tend to mistake it for young adult is that, again, you will have that trend of internal turmoil being just as important, if not more important, as the external turmoil.
Yeah, agreed. There was another a book I received an ARC of last year, The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang. Got billed as young adult very briefly by accident, because, again, it's written in quite a young adult style. It's definitely not a young adult book, but you could be forgiven if you'd only read the first third for thinking, oh, this is a young adult thing, because the main character is a poor girl who manages to get a scholarship to an exclusive martial arts academy set in a fantasy world. And so you've got this young teenage character going off to a education type environment. And then there's lots of drug use along with this during the second half, and you're kind of like, this is definitely not young adult. And then the third part of the book, as many halves as I want there to be. No, the third part of the book dwells in almost loving detail on this horrible, violent genocide of a town, and it's based very closely on the rape of Nanking. If you don't know about that historically, you probably should go and look it up, but severe trigger warnings for rape, abuse, animal abuse, pretty much everything you can think of if you do decide to do that. And again, if you decide to read this book. So it's written in a young adult style, but it is definitely an adult book. And this is where there is perhaps a little bit of an issue, because this isn't designed to be a crossover book. This has been written in a young adult accessible style that's easy for a younger reader or someone who wants less dense prose to get through, and yet it's very much aimed at adults. And there's quite a few in fantasy who do it that way, because it's a good way of selling books. If you make something look, at least in terms of style and voice, as if it could be good crossover material, then that's kind of a foot through the door on genres that are quite difficult to break into, such as fantasy and young adult. I wouldn't even put it down as new adult, because obviously 20-year-olds could handle it. It's just a case of there's stuff in this book that I felt sick reading, genuinely felt quite sick reading. And that's not to say that we shouldn't know the history of China and Japan. I think we should. We're too westernized in how we look at our history. But there's a way things can be delivered.
Yeah.
And I went into it knowing all about the rape of Nanking. So, I was hardly doing it in ignorance. So that's just an example. There are other fantasy books out there. I haven't read The Tethered Mage, but apparently that's got a very young adult feel. Trudy Canavan's Black Magician series wasn't ever designed to be young adult originally, but it does have quite a young adult style.
Yeah. It does. I mean, I actually read the first book when I was 13.
And I would have said it was perfectly okay for that age group, but, you know, it was designed as adult fiction.
I'm a boot by what you were just talking about, that book.
Oh, what, The Poppy War?
The Poppy Wars.
To be honest...
That ending up on the wrong shelf.
Yeah. But I suppose the thing is, we're not talking about censorship here. We're talking about people being able to make informed choices about what they read. I'm completely against any form of censorship. I think if someone's old enough to ask the questions, they're old enough for some of the answers. And if they're old enough to choose a book off the shelf, start to read it, and decide that they can continue and want to continue, then they should be allowed to continue. And there should be someone around to answer questions afterwards. In theory, we know life is not that perfect.
No, and again, I think it comes down to the individual. But it's about an individual being able to say, I am capable of reading material which is meant for people who are older than me.
Yeah.
It's not, and therefore making an informed decision, not picking a book off the shelf, reading the first few pages and misunderstanding what you're about to get into.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to talk about this now from another angle. So far we've been looking at the importance of why new adult should be recognized as an age group, and why books, you know, need to be, why it needs to be there. But I want to look at it about why it needs to be there for readers. And I think that we don't actually have that many new adult books.
No, we don't.
There are some.
We probably have some that was sort of on the edge of adult fantasy and on the edge of young adult that probably would fit into that category, but they were never marketed that way.
Yeah, but we don't actually have a dedicated market of people writing for new adult. And that's simply because it doesn't exist, so no one's thinking, right, I'm going to be writing for new adult. And when they write, they're thinking it's going to be young adult, or it's going to be adult. And what happens is, if they are inadvertently writing new adult, because it doesn't really exist, publishers will get hold of it and say, right, we don't want this because we don't know where this fits. Or they'd say, right, make it so that it's more young adult, or make it so that it's more adult. And it's this failure to recognize that there is actually a place in the market for new adult fiction. And I think it's incredibly important, because just as we recognize the importance of children's fiction, so fiction written specifically for children, in helping them develop empathy and also helping them to explore their own identity, sexuality, the themes of life and death, we have, as we've already said, you continue to develop as a person, well, pretty much your entire life, but significantly in terms of brain chemistry, right up to being at the age of sort of 25 around. And yeah. I think it's kind of a little bit shocking that we have this mentality that we just go, right, you're done.
Like, yeah, that's it. You're now an
like
adult.
The timer's on. Yeah, you popped out of the oven and you're just kind of thrown to the side.
It's kind of like, have you finished learning to swim yet? I don't know, but we're just going to throw you in the water anyway. No, you don't get a life jacket.
Yeah, and the thing is that we recognise that in other courses of life, we have universities. You know, we have all these bits and bobs that surround us in our culture that recognise that being sort of up to the age of 25, you're still a young person. You're still developing. So why is that not reflected in the book industry? I mean, I just don't understand it at all. And I've spoken to so many people my age, and a little bit younger than me, who continue to read young adult because of that accessibility, but become frustrated with it because these characters more reflect them, but the writing is accessible. And I think it's particularly, you notice that in fantasy in particular, because adult fantasy tends to have that very kind of, tends to be a lot denser than young adult fantasy.
Yeah, and to come at it from another angle, that is the issue. I'm not picking on millennials particularly, but it does seem to be that sort of age group. People who, when they sort of hit 19, 20, were reading this particular type of young adult fiction, and now they're sort of 26 or 28, they might be heading into their 30s, and they're kind of like, you know, these are the books I want to read, and yet nothing reflects me anymore. And it's a case of, well, actually, you could be kind of. It could be time for you to kind of let go of these ones and move on to the next step for you. But there's no next step there. So if they still want something that's written in
Exactly.
that style, then, it's adult fiction or nothing. It's almost like people are saying, well, you should have grown out of this by now, which is a bollocks thing to say about books, because you should never be at a stage where you have to have grown out of something.
And exactly another point that we made earlier on, which is that YA tends to be at the forefront of very important issues in terms of representation, in terms of discussions about the topics of importance. You will find that in YA, and you're not necessarily going to find that in adult fiction. I mean, you will in some cases, but you will definitely find in general that popular YA is going to have now at least some representation. It's going to at least be addressing some form of issue. And if that's what you want, which I can totally get because that's what I want. You know, I'm really kind of bored of just reading very typical kind of characters, and I don't like description heavy narratives either, which is another thing you tend to find particularly in adult fantasy, high big description density, stories which are centered around the world. This is another thing you'll find in YA tends to be character driven, and you're not necessarily going to get that in adult fiction. So I can totally understand saying, actually, I want books which have similar kind of representation and are touching on important topics that I find intriguing and engaging. I want character-driven stories which feel accessible in their narrative and their language, and their plot pacing, and I want to feel represented. I do think it's important.
I think the thing is, the young adult audience in general, as a mass, is one of the most active and engaged audiences you could have for a book. They will tell you what they want, and sometimes they're not subtle about it either. They will tell you exactly what they want, which is great in some respects, because it means that you, as an author, can go, oh, right, so if I produce more of this, this is more likely to sell, and I'm actually serving an audience I believe passionately in. And I'm giving that audience what they've asked for. And that's a good thing. We've gone into that before. Fantasy and science fiction are now kind of like, oh yeah, perhaps we should be doing some of that too. You know, we've been selling this white male cis het narrative for literally decades. And maybe it's time to be a bit more, we should be not jumping on the bandwagon, but we should be exploring some of these things in a more adult setting. But once again, there's no step in between. I mean, new adult is recognised as a category, but then it got colonised by people who were literally using it to write smut. There's nothing wrong with smut, but it ought to be categorised as smut, not just as, oh, smut with 20-year-old protagonists, because it's taken away a category that could have been a really useful stepping stone. I mean, it's a category that needs to be taken back.
And I think a part of taking it back would be for publishers to recognize it as a category as a whole and to actually start accepting authors and writers and publishing books
Yeah.
specifically for it.
Start looking for it. I mean, the thing is, I would say your Kestrel series will fall more into new adult than it would do into straightforward adult. I mean, it'll be a bit of crossover between the two. The last couple of unveiled books, you could say, actually, technically, they're kind of more new adult than they are young adult. She's grown up, and the things that she's got a bit of an issue with or she's struggling with reflect that. And the same with some of the later series I'm writing. They fall slightly more into new adult and towards the edge of adult as well. it's too much really to ask for people to just go, oh, it's young adult here, and now tomorrow you're 18, off you go. Past is new to adult fiction, into a style that perhaps doesn't engage you yet in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I think that publishers need to step up and reclaim this, and part of reclaim that is actively looking for and accepting and publishing and marketing books for these ages. And when they start to do that, the shelves will appear in bookshops. But until that happens, until it's actually recognized, it's going to be a chunk missing for a long time.
I mean, there never I was going to say, there never used to be a young adult section. When I was growing up, there wasn't a young adult section.
Exactly.
So it's a case of, this is something that can be changed really, really quickly. The audience is there. You just need to accept books that fit into that category and put them on the shelves. People will buy them.
Yeah, and I think actually the reason it hasn't appeared is that, as you said, there wasn't, until very recently, young adult wasn't a thing. But now what's happening is the generation who were brought up with young adults are now saying, well, where's the next step?
Well, yeah, exactly. Back when I was 12, 13, it was kind of like, well, you can't be reading children's books, you have to go on to adult. Oh, but these ones are too adult for you. There literally was a huge gap. So it's a case of, well, what am I supposed to read? You just want me to stick to the classics? By the way, do you know how dicey some of those are?
Pretty dicey.
Yeah. So there we go. We think... And as Madeline said at the beginning, this is an opinion piece, but, you know, we have pretty good grounds for this opinion. We think that there is a gap in the market and it needs to be utilised. So if you're a writer, consider writing towards the new adult audience. And if you're a publisher and happen to be listening, there is an audience out there for new adult fiction and you're not tapping into it.
Yeah, we desperately need these books. Desperately. Please, I beg you.
Yes.
Right, well, I think...
probably all we've got time for this
week. It's time to wrap it up. Yeah. Before we go, of course, it's time for our Dissecting Dragons recommendation of the week. And Jules, I think you've got one for us.
Yes, I recently finished a collection of short stories by N.K. Jemisin, who is a fabulous fantasy and science fiction author, called How Long Till Black Future Month. Don't be fooled by the title. This is an amazing collection of stories. I love the fact that she deals with issues. She looks at racism, she looks at things like slavery, she looks at LGBTQA plus issues as well, and does it all in such a natural way with such an amazing fantasy, steampunk, science fiction type settings and plots. And it just makes you think. There's a story in there for everything, and every time I read the next story, I was kind of like, no, this one's my favourite. And I never get that with short stories. There's normally always a couple of duds, but no, this entire collection was amazing, so I highly recommend it.
Fantastic. Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten that it was going to be speculative fiction from the title.
No, you wouldn't really. She's taken that from, basically, she's taken that from an essay that she wrote, called How Long Till Black Future Month, which talked about the inherent racism in speculative fiction. It's a worthy essay. Go to her website and read it. It's really quite eye-opening. And it's not an accusatory sort of thing, but the stories that she's written and why she writes the way she does taps into this situation around speculative fiction.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks for that recommendation. Everybody go check it out. And on that note, guys, we'll say thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, thanks and goodbye.
You've been listening to Dissecting Dragons, the speculative fiction podcast. You can follow our podcast at podbean.com or from iTunes. For more information, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/dissectingreaders. Or check out our author websites at jaironside.com and madelinevaughan.com. Please note, no dragons were harmed during the making of this podcast.